Amen. You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord spoke to me last night, and He said, make room. Make room. I didn't even know what that meant. Make room. Lord, what do you mean, make room? Make room for me, He said. Hallelujah. So I want to talk to you for just a second, because I sort of wrestled with this all night, and the Lord just talked to me some in my sleep, actually. He does that. Sometimes it's the only time He can find me quiet, so He speaks to me when I finally get quiet. You know, when I speak of the heart, I rarely am speaking of the muscle, the pump. I'm speaking of spiritually, you have a heart, you have a soul. And you know, in this world, we tend to divide our heart in pieces. And therefore, we look really good and Christian on Sunday, but Monday, sometimes we don't look so good. We don't look so godly. And I believe the Lord is speaking to us. And He says, I want to remove the divisions in your heart, because I have to be Lord of all your heart. So I think that He's speaking to us corporately as a body. And He's saying, make room. Make room for me to rule and reign in your heart, in your life. Folks, we may see some difficult times in the last days. We don't know what we're going to see. But we may very well have some difficult times. But God is able. He will carry us through. But we need to be dependent upon Him. So I thought, and this is what the Lord began to speak to you, to me about. He says in Matthew chapter 6, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The Lord began to speak to me about unforgiveness. This is not my sermon. It may be my sermon, I don't know, but at this point it's not my sermon. I believe God wants to deal with unforgiveness in the body. And you could say, oh, Pastor, we're not like that. Oh, yeah, right. And I was born yesterday. You know, folks, it's a difficult subject. People hurt. People hurt us. There are people that have been severely hurt by others. I get it. I understand it. Don't continue to let them hurt you. So, well, do you share? Tell me, how do you do that, Pastor? By forgiving them. Doesn't make sense, does it? You mean if I forgive them, then they can't hurt me anymore? That's exactly right. You just let it go. And it doesn't mean that what they did was right, not justified, but it allows you to go free. And that's what we want. We want to be free people in Christ. And He says He would make us free. So I want to just say a simple prayer. That doesn't mean short. That's just a simple, short prayer. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit begins to show you if you're holding on to unforgiveness. You know, it's sneaky. You know, it's sneaky. It hides, doesn't it? It sort of like hides. It goes undercover and hides in our heart. And then all of a sudden, you start talking about somebody. You feel this anger and rage start rising up. And you think, where'd that come from? Unforgiveness. You didn't deal with it. You just buried it. Jesus, I pray for these folks today, some of whom I've never laid my eyes on before, God. But Lord, I believe that the Spirit of the Lord has brought them in for a timely message. And I pray, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I pray that You would begin to uncover and identify any kind of unforgiveness that we are holding on to. And Father, then I pray, give us the power. Give us the ability to release that and to forgive those folks. So Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you would help us in this area. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let me give you one more key. Talked to a guy one time who absolutely hated somebody else, both of them brothers in the Lord. Hated him. I mean, just couldn't even stand to be in the same room with him. And he said, I talked to him about that, and he said, I just can't do it. I cannot forgive him for what he's done to me. And I said, you know, all Jesus needs is a little bit. And if you can pray this prayer in sincerity, God will help you. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing to forgive him. Do you know what you just did if you pray that prayer? You gave the Holy Spirit the power to work in your heart to give you the ability to forgive somebody that you can't on your own. Lord, I'm willing to be made willing to forgive them. So maybe today you just say, I can't do that. You can say that prayer, but you must say it with sincerity. Amen. All right, you're going to get part two today. From last week, we didn't get all the way done, so we just call this the characteristics of an ambassador, part two. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him speak to you today. If something in this sermon doesn't challenge you, something wrong probably. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, we're going to start with verse 9. He said, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, and bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus, we come before you again, seeking the wisdom of heaven. God, we're not into philosophy. We're into your word. We're into life in the Spirit of God. Lord, quite honestly, we're not seeing this lived out a whole lot today. So Lord, we need divine revelation on how we are to look, how we're to act. God, we know that we are to be different than the world. But Lord, how different? How much different? And in what ways do you want us to be different? So Lord, I pray today that as I speak, that the soil of our heart has been tilled up and it is ready to receive the seed of the Word of God. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would plant the seed deep so it would not be stolen, it would not be taken away, but Lord, it would bear fruit in our life. Now, Lord, now I pray for me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. We'll start and we'll repeat some of the things that we said last week. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. In other words, if you've been born again, you're different than you used to be. Amen. And you're growing in that difference. God is doing some things in you. He says, old things have passed away. That's called the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of repentance. I talked to a lady today or this week, and she said that when she got saved, God took her language away. I mean, she said, I talk terrible, but when I got saved, she said, that went away. Some other habits that she had just disappeared. That's how you can tell you're saved, right? If you give your heart to Jesus and you go out and you live the same old way you've always lived, you better give your heart to Jesus again. Something didn't take. It says you're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. He's doing a new work in you. Isn't that good? He says, now things are of God who has reconciled us. You know how what it is. And years ago when we all had checking accounts, we had to reconcile that account every month to make sure what we said and what the bank said was the same. So we reconciled those numbers to be the same. Well, we are reconciled to Christ. This cross reconciles us. Thank God for the cross, right? Jesus died on the cross so we could be reconciled to God the Father. He didn't have to look at us. He didn't have to listen to us before. But because of Christ, we are now a new creature. We now can come boldly to the throne of grace. He says he's reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is Christ, that is God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. That's what Christ did. Not imputing, not counting their trespasses to them. And now he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I talked just a little bit last week about what it is to be an ambassador. And an ambassador is someone from one nation that moves to another nation and represents his homeland. He is provided for. Everything he needs comes from his homeland. I love this. So God calls us an ambassador. In other words, this world is not our home. We're just passing through, right? But in the meantime, God says, I want heaven as our real home, but I'm going to plant you here. And as he plants us, now we are to represent our homeland. When we speak, it's as God speaks. Whew! That just gave me goosebumps. When we speak, it's like the Lord is speaking. God help us to speak your words and not my words, not my thoughts. Amen? So I wanted you to see this sermon. What does an ambassador look like? And I'm not talking about the outward physical things. I'm talking about inward. And the very first thing that should identify our lives more than anything, let love be sincere. Amen. How's your love life? See, when the world talks about that, they're talking about something totally different. Right? I'm not talking about the special woman in your life or the special man in your life. I'm talking about how you doing loving people. I don't know. If I had to give the church a grade on this, it would probably be a D. I don't think we're doing such a great job. You see, love attracts. It pulls you in. It doesn't judge. It accepts you as you are and then begins to teach you a better way. He said, let love be sincere. In other words, you ought to love people that can't love you back or don't love you back or can't give you something that you need. We love those that cannot repay us, that have nothing to give us. It doesn't matter. If they draw breath, we ought to love them. No matter what they call themselves. What, you know, we talked to a girl the other day and we couldn't love on her because we was just chasing her all around the place. I mean, she just would not stand still long enough. But she said, I don't serve the same God as you. And boy, that just, whoo, I want to talk to you. But she wouldn't talk to us. But you know what my job is? Not to get mad at her. Not to dislike her because she disagrees with me. My job is to love her. You see, the Bible says this, the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Christians, quit getting mad at people that you work with because they don't act Christian. Well, they're not a Christian. See, we're expecting sinners to act like Christians. It doesn't work like that. Christians act like Christians sometimes. And therein is the problem. Right? When Christians act like heathens, we got a problem. When heathens act like heathens, that's normal. When a 2-year-old spills his milk, you don't get mad at him. You clean up the milk. He's being a 2-year-old. When a toddler poops his pants, you change it. You don't spank a toddler for pooping his pants. Quit expecting heathens to act like God and start acting like God. And then there'll be an attraction. Let love be sincere. Sincerely love. It's not something that we fake until we make. It's something we do out of the sincerity of our hearts. Say, Pastor, you love everybody you meet. No, not really. But I pray that I will. I pray that I will. Let God's love flow through me. See, God loves us all. And I'm supposed to act like my daddy. My father in heaven. So let love be sincere, not fake. He said, abhor that which is evil, that's destructive, that's harmful, that's dangerous, but cling to the good. The Bible says this, and we don't preach it much anymore. He says, shun the very appearance of evil. So what's that mean, Pastor? That means it doesn't have to be evil for you not to participate. But if it looks evil to those outside, then you don't need to participate in it. There are some places Christians ought not go. Boy, this is old time preaching right here. Some things we just don't participate in, right? We abhor that. We hate evil. You ever watched a movie and you just get mad at the bad guy? Right? To the point that you start screaming at him on the TV. Okay, I'm feeling very lonely. Do you talk to your TV, Pastor? Occasionally. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate to one another. I quoted the verse that's later on Romans that says, greet your brother with a holy kiss. And I said, we don't do that. That's not our custom. We greet each other with a holy handshake or a hug. Obviously, Chris Carlisle, who was here last week, didn't quite get that message. And so at the back door when I was greeting everybody and saying goodbye, he says, pucker up, Pastor. I said, no, sir. He's a funny guy. You know, it's okay. You know, the one thing that I hated about COVID is that it took us apart. You know, 2 years ago, there was a time in the service where we would just stand up and greet each other and just love each other. You know, we're so quick to leave now. We just don't want to stay around. We just got to beat the Baptist to the restaurants, right? So we're out the doors. You know, try to get over that habit. Stick around and get to know somebody. Be kindly affectionate to each other. You may need them at some point, or they may need you. He says, in honor, giving preference to one another. Society is going to tell you it's all about you. The culture of today, it's all about you. Jesus says, no, not really. It's really about everybody else. You're last. They're first. We should honor. You know what the word honor means in the Old Testament? It means weighty. The Bible says, I think it's in 2 Chronicles, that Jabez was more honorable than everyone, than all of his brothers and sisters. What's that mean? He was a fat baby. That's what that means. He was a fat baby. He was more honorable. He was a heavy child. But weight means that we give it credence. We give it respect. You see, this ought to be the most weighty thing in your life. Nothing more important. Everything gets measured by this. This is the scale of who we are. Does that make sense? We honor this book. We don't throw it in the back of the car and let it ride around in the sun and leave it on the top of the roof and let it get rained on. And this book is holy. It contains words of life. I don't think we have too much trouble with that. But do we have trouble with each other? Do we give honor to those? Even to those who may be lacking, we honor them. To the handicapped, we give honor. We should help. But each person in the body is special. God doesn't make junk. Everyone's special. And church, we need to learn to give honor and preference to one another. And then he says, not lagging in diligence. Not lagging. Don't be slothful or lazy in your work for the Lord. Now, I looked this up in Hebrews 11:6. He says, now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. He doesn't say he rewards those who occasionally seek him. It says that God rewards those who diligently seek his face. And then this scripture, he says, don't lag, don't be slothful, don't be lazy in your service to the Lord, but be diligent. It's not how you start the game, it's how you end the game. End strong. Bible says in Galatians 6:9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Last week I told you, I said, God will pick us up out of the pit of despair, but he won't help us up out of the lazy boy. You need to get up. Get to work. You know, when God created Adam and Eve and he placed them in the garden, he gave them a job. W-O-R-K is not a four-letter word. Well, it sort of is. It's not a dirty word. God created you. You know, he could have created a rototiller, but he didn't. He created you. And he created you and he gave you a job. What's that job? To be his ambassador. To represent him on this earth. When Jesus left, all the responsibility that he had, he placed on 12 men's shoulders. He said, actually 11. He said, now guys, go and make disciples. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people got saved. The church was started. And we've been growing ever since. The kingdom is expanding, and we ought to thank God for that. He says, be fervent in spirit, which means to boil, serving the Lord. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Do it with all your might, with all your ability. Serve God with great gusto. He says, rejoice in hope. That's confident expectation. In other words, you should have hope. Did you have an expectation when you came to church today? Did you come with the expectation that the Holy Spirit was going to be here? That the Holy Spirit was going to touch you? That the Holy Spirit had something in store for you? Church has become informational, and it was never supposed to be informational. It was supposed to be transformational. We come to be changed, not to just learn. So we're rejoicing in hope, but we're patient in tribulation. Woo! When it gets tough, stand your ground. Don't give up. And it's going to get tough, guys. I'm telling you, it's going to get tough. Be patient. See, the children of Israel went through the same things that Egypt went through. Every one of the plagues that Egypt went through also hit the children of Israel. When they were over in the land of Goshen, but about plague 4, God cupped his hand over Goshen. You know what I mean? It means God protected his people, that these plagues didn't hit his people. And then the last one, when the firstborn died, he says, now you need to put some blood on your doorpost. Thank God blood's been applied to my life. Hallelujah. Why am I talking about it? I'm talking about you will have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. We are not promised a rose bed. We're not promised that everything's going to work out right. We are promised that he will be with you in tribulation. He will be... I don't know. My mind's working faster than my mouth can speak. Hallelujah. So what do? Patience. You have need of patience. When you're going through some tough times, that's not the time to throw your faith down. And let me tell you, it's probably time that you zip it. When you're going through difficulty, keep your mouth shut. Why? Because you may shoot yourself in the foot with your words. Proverbs says that in your mouth you have the power of life and death. And sometimes in tribulation, when we're really going through difficulty, we tend to speak a lot of death on ourselves. So just be quiet. Be quiet. Wait on God. And know, He never forsakes us. We don't lose. We win. We're called victors, not victims. We're not defeated. We're more than conquerors. No weapon formed against us will prosper. And every word that rises up against us will be refuted. For this is the heritage of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, when it gets tough, have patience. God will carry you through. And then the last part of that verse says, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Listen, please. Prayer is where it's at. Prayer is what makes the difference. When Jesus was walking on this land, his disciples were sleeping and he was praying. He'd get up early in the morning. The Son of God felt a need to go seek out his Father's wisdom for the day. Well, I'm glad I don't need that. If the Son of God needed prayer time, you better bet I need it. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Is your prayer life increasing or decreasing? It's not really a trick question. It better be increasing. As times get harder, our prayer life better increase. Continual, steadfast. Steadfastly. Not... You know, if you pray only when you feel like it, you're not praying much. Because my body doesn't just feel like praying much. You know, my body truthfully doesn't feel like doing much godly. So my body's not in charge. My spirit is in charge. And my spirit says you need to seek the face of God, young man. It doesn't call me young man anymore. He just says man. He doesn't say old man either. Continue steadfastly. He says in Hebrews 10:36, he says, don't cast off your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance or patience, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Continue endurance to pray. Part of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, it's a part that we rarely ever mention. Because we usually, it's Ephesians 6 chapter 10, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, and it actually goes to about verse 18 when it talks about the armor of God, but most people stop at verse 16 because it doesn't list armor at that point. But he talks about how important it is to speak to the commander, the communication of your Father in heaven. It's vital. You're not going to make it out alive. You need him. You need him speaking to you. Let me tell you, communication, prayer is communication. It's always two ways. Prayer is not one way. It's not giving Jesus your grocery list, your needs. It's listening to the Spirit of God. You say, you think Jesus still speaks to us? Absolutely. He was very talkative to me last night in my sleep. He just kept talking and kept talking. The Lord wants to speak to you. Will you incline your ear to listen? Do you know, the Lord will rarely speak to you if you keep talking. I have an anointed word again. Shut up. Learn to get quiet. That means turn the television off, turn the radio off, turn off the world, and be still. Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still. Tell the Lord, God, I just want to take a few minutes to be still in your presence. You may be surprised what God has to say to you. You know what I find? Does he discipline us? Yes, but it's always with love. But you know what I find when the Lord speaks to me? It's always encouraging. It's always encouraging. He's always trying to breathe life into us. So continue steadfastly in prayer. Then he talks about distributing to the needs of the saints and giving to hospitality. Hospitality is like, if you call this home, then make it your home. Can I just tell you a pet peeve? Of course, I'm going to anyway. This ain't my church. It's your church. It's our church. It ain't all about me. Sometimes more ministry happens from pew to pew than from pulpit to pew. Make it your house. Be hospitable. You see, the visitors in this room, they don't know how many visitors are in this room. Our church has grown a lot in the last few months. I can put a date to it. Can I put a date to it for you? The day that we chose to go out to the streets was the day that our church began to grow. You know why? Because we said yes to God. We finally begin to obey the great commandment to go into the world. We've only done it twice, but I'm going to tell you, it has some effect on this church. It's amazing what happens when we're obedient to God. Right? So he says, be hospitable. Love each other. Take each other out for lunch. If you can't afford to buy, tell them, I can't afford to buy, but I'd like to have lunch with you. Will you buy mine? No. Maybe you can't afford lunch. Maybe go for coffee. Maybe just go take a walk in the park. Just start getting to know each other. I could just start calling out names right now, and I'll guarantee you, most of you in the house wouldn't know these names. Some of them be here for a few months. It's not just up to me to get to know. The Bible says, give yourself to hospitality. I guarantee you, if you start looking around this room, you're going to see a face you don't know. Get to know them today. Just make it intentional. I'm going to get to know him. You may find you got a new best friend. He starts that verse and he says that we are supposed to be distributing to the needs. I found this the other day. 54%, this is the statistic today, 54% of the church never gives a dime. Doesn't give a dime. 23% of the church believes in tithing. Tithing is 10%. 23% of the church just hit and miss. So really, 20% of the church is supporting the church. That's really not talking about tithing. What it's talking about is helping others. You don't have to do that through the church. You can do that through the church. The church helps each other. By and large, the needs that come through our door rarely come from church members. about 90% of the people who ask us for help are not saints. They're not part of this church. The Bible is pretty specific. Help the saints. Now, should we help others? Yes. If we can, we should help them too. But we have a command from the Lord to help the saints. So when a brother is in need, sister's in need, if it's possible, if we can, we ought to help them. I wonder if I get any hallelujahs on that. You start talking about money and the church grows quiet. There's joy in helping, I promise you. And it doesn't really matter that you say, well, I just don't have it. Some of the greatest examples of giving in the Bible are from those that were in extreme poverty. It's amazing. Philippians is called the book of joy because in their poverty they gave and they found it very joyful. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. My father-in-law was a preacher. He used to always say, God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll take it from a grouch. Then he goes on, he says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. In the Greek, bless means to say a good word, to speak a positive word. To bless someone is to pray God's favor on them. It's a declaration. I think if we're challenged today, it's this one. See, in the world, culturally, we're taught, if they're not for us, they're against us. So just curse them. And we wind up cursing our neighbors rather than blessing our neighbors. So God has called us to do it different. Now, when it says, don't curse them, it's not really speaking of what we would say as cuss words. It's speaking damnation. It's speaking defeat. It's speaking failure. And we do it. Has anybody ever passed you on the highway and you say something like this? I hope there's a cop around that corner. That's a bit of a curse. Because you don't say it about yourself. If you're driving too fast down the road, you're saying, Jesus, please don't let there be a cop down the road. Somebody rubs you the wrong way, I hope they get theirs. That's not the way of Christ. You see, on the cross, he forgave. Come on. If that doesn't challenge your heart, then you must be dead. He said, for those that hammered the nails in his hands and feet, he said, Father, forgive them. Whoo! That's rough. See, that ruffles my feathers, my bodily feathers. It just doesn't fly with me. I sometimes have this attitude of retaliation, but God says no. So then I have a choice. I can either do it God's way or I can be myself, right? There's no joy in doing it my way. There's destruction in the end when I do it my way. So when I bless them, it needs to be sincere. It doesn't need to be flippant. It needs to be sincerely out of your heart. So if you've got that coworker that just rubs you the wrong way all the time, stop cursing them under your breath. Start blessing them with your breath. My spiritual father, he taught me something that has been with me a long time. I think we have this on the wall. But he said the blessing has five things that you can pray. Be well in your body. Be whole in your mind or your soul. Be favored by God. Be prosperous in the work of your hands. And may his presence be your portion. Man, isn't that good? So when you bless somebody, you're praying that. Lord, I bless Stanley. I want him to be well in his body and whole in his mind. I want his hands to be prosperous. I want him to be favored by the Lord. But more than anything, I want your presence to be with him. Whoo, that's powerful, right? You can bless me anytime you want to, like that. He goes on, he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. In other words, if somebody gets a new car in the church, don't get jealous. Be happy. Rejoice with them. But when they go through, maybe they've lost someone they love, or maybe they lost their job, or something bad has happened to them, even if you don't like them, you don't say, I knew they'd get what they deserved. No, compassion rises up. And you say, God bless them. Really, sincerely. God help them in this difficult time of their life. Self-centered people will not rejoice at someone else's prosperity. They'll be jealous instead. Nor will they weep because life is all about themselves. He says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. What's that mean? Associate with people that cannot help you back. Associate with them. Befriend them. Don't be wise in your own opinion. Well, I could say something about that. What he's teaching is don't be prideful. Be humble. Humble is not thinking bad about yourself. Humility is thinking about others before you. I heard this quote one time. The only people that doesn't know pride is existent in their life, you know, they're sort of like people with bad breath. The only one that knows, that doesn't know they have bad breath is the person who has bad breath. The only person that doesn't know they're full of pride is the person that's full of pride. But it's not your job to tell them. Whoa, did I hit a nerve? That's the Holy Ghost's job. It's not your job to go around and tell everybody. You need to be humble. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Now, let's just pray about that. Pride looks its nose down on others. Humility lifts a brother up. Right? And when you're lifting them up, what are you doing? You're blessing them. Even if they're the one that hurt your feelings. You're blessing them. You know, for too long, we've had people that won't associate with each other sitting on two sides of the church. Shame on us. Let's get over ourselves. Let's start walking in forgiveness. Let's let love be sincere. You know, if someone hurts your feelings, it doesn't make it right for you to get mad. You're not justified. You hear me? You're not justified. Offense is a choice. You can walk in love even with an offensive person. Is it easy? No. Can you do it? You can do it. Can I give an example? Black people have done it all their life. White people have been very offensive to black people. And Christians have learned to overlook the nonsense and have forgiven us. It's amazing how racist we can be inside and outside of the church. Brown people, black people, Asian people. Why is it no one's as good as me? Isn't that our attitude? If you look at a color of a skin, that's exactly what you're saying. There's nobody as good as me because they don't look like me. Thank God. I'm glad God's into diversity. I'm glad we don't all look alike. Every culture has something to add to the mix. My brother pastored a church in California. They had a name for this, but I can't remember the name. But it had no identity. It wasn't black. It wasn't white. It wasn't Filipino. It wasn't, you get what I'm saying? It was just a hodgepodge. Yes. Worship was wonderful. I'm telling you, People know how to worship in different cultures, different ways. And it's exciting. I'm sorry, but white people are stuffy. Shouldn't have said that, should I? Okay. Repay no one evil for evil. Don't retaliate in word or deed. We're not supposed to retaliate. The Bible says that vengeance is mine, I'll repay. You see, there's a verse in the Bible that says it's like heaping coals of fire on their head. Well, we don't do good to people just because we're heaping coals of fire on their head. But it's like the scales of justice. Okay, you know what I'm talking about, the scales? It's like when someone's being just nasty. Well, if you're nasty back, it levels out. We're not called to be nasty back. See, but when that person's nasty, but you're good, you're kind, you're cautious with your words, things start going like this. And all of a sudden, that person that's got the nasty attitude, they start wondering, why are they good to me when I say awful things about them? Because Jesus. Amen. And you make sure you say that. When they finally come to you and say, how come you've been good to me? It's because of the love of Jesus. It's not because I'm good. It's because the love of Jesus is in my heart. So don't retaliate. Don't pay evil for evil. He says that we were supposed to live peaceably with all men. Peace in the Old Testament was shalom. It means tranquility, which we get. But it also means wholeness and completeness. You will be whole. You will be complete as you give, as you walk in peace. In Proverbs 25, verse 21 through 22 is the last portion of this scripture. He's actually quoting from Proverbs. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap the coals of fire on his head. Again, your motivation is not to make them feel guilty. Your motivation is to make them see Jesus in you. So the summation of this chapter is in that last verse. Do not be overcome by evil. You know, I believe today in our world, it'd be easy to be overcome by evil. I mean, there's just so much evil, right? There's just enough to go around many times over. Do you know I limit the amount of news that I watch? Because it's just evil. It's just all evil, evil, evil. Now, I try to watch enough that I'm aware of what's happening in our world. But if I watch too much, it depresses me. So I just have to stop. It don't matter what news there is. I hadn't found a good channel. Don't be overcome by evil. Listen to this. Don't let evil get in your spirit. Keep this world out of your spirit. Don't be overcome with everything that's happening around. The Bible says in Peter, it says that righteous man Lot, you remember Lot, Abraham's nephew, went and camped out by Sodom and Gomorrah? That righteous man Lot, his soul was vexed. Vexed means poisoned by the manner of living. But in other words, in the way he was living, see, he had become part of the council of the town. The Bible says that he sat at the gate, which was like a type of leadership. So he had become part of Sodom. And the Bible says, and that poisoned his soul. I find today that Christians are being poisoned by this world. So the word of the Lord to us is, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. You don't overcome evil by being evil. You overcome evil by being good. We never retaliate. We never curse. We bless. It's the way of Christ. Right? Is it challenging? Absolutely it is. It's absolutely challenging. Because in my flesh, I want to pop somebody in the nose. Spirit of slap comes on me. I feel that hand shaking. Oh. We don't act like that. We have to love instead. And when we love, when someone's just downright nasty and dirty, and you love them, buddy, I'm going to tell you, it shocks them. It shocks them. When we first got married, we lived in front of a guy who was just nasty. He's just nasty to us. Never had a kind word at all. Man, my heart, I wanted to punch him so bad. And I was in church service one day, and the Lord said this to me. He said, go apologize to him. You know what I said to the Lord? I don't owe him an apology. He owes me an apology. Yeah, we had a bit of a difference of opinion. The Lord said, I want you to go apologize. For what, Jesus? Why do I need to apologize? Because of your stinking attitude. I wasn't overcoming evil with good. I wasn't being ugly. I was just leaving him alone. So I walked up to his door, knocked on the door. He looked at me, he said, what do you want? I said, I'm here to apologize. That got his attention. He said, for what? I said, I haven't had a very good attitude towards you. He said, he just looked at me, said, this happened 40 years ago. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Okay. Shuts the door in my face. I'm thinking, really? That's all I get? I do what you say and that's all I get. Years later, we move after a few months and I lost touch with him. But one day I'm walking around Walmart. I hear this guy say, Eric! Eric! And I look back and I had a hard time remembering who he was. And that man, even to this day, if I go back to Murray, he has a business. If I go into his business, we're like old buddies. I'm serious. Guy respects me. Guy, he treats me like a friend, and I treat him like a friend. I don't have any animosity towards him. You know why? Because I was obedient to the voice of the Lord. Said apologize. In my estimation, I didn't owe him an apology. But only God knew. I just was obedient. And the blessing of the Lord came into my life because of obedience. I got a friend that used to be an enemy. Right? You got any enemies? Crickets. You want to turn them into a friend? Just love them like Christ would. You know the people that came to Christ wanting to trick him, trap him? You know he wasn't ugly to them? He still showed them the love of Christ. You want to make a difference in our world? Let love be sincere. Let's overcome evil by doing good. And that's a good word from the Word. Stand with me if you would. I think I've told you this story before, but David Wilkerson, I think it was back in the 50s, he went to New York City because God told him to. And he started witnessing on the streets of New York City, and he met up with a guy by the name of Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz's life was terrible. He was raised, his father was like a high priest in the satanic order. He did awful things to Nicky when he grew up. In other words, Nicky didn't know what love was. Just did not. His dad used to force him into like a dog cage and make him stay there for days on end when he did something wrong. Wouldn't feed him. Just pushed him. He was raised in South America somewhere. Just awful to him. So when he met David Wilkerson, and David Wilkerson says, I love you, Nicky. Nicky looked at him. Nicky was part of the street gangs. Nicky said to David Wilkerson, he said, don't you know, preacher, I could cut you up into 1,000 pieces. And he said, Nicky, he said, you could cut me up into 1,000 pieces and every piece would say, I love you. It haunted Nikki. I mean, he could not get away from that. You see, we want to know how to evangelize our world. God told us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe would believe and not and have everlasting life. But the way of evangelism, the way is the way of love. Not retaliation. Not keeping score. Husbands and wife, put your scorecard down. Walk in love. Walk in forgiveness. It's a good word from the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to ask for a respond of hands because, in truth, something had to hit you today. I feel like I had a shotgun out here. Something had to hit and something had to land. I'm just as guilty. Don't you dare look at me and say, boy, he must have his act together. No. Pastor Art, when we first started this church as a satellite church, I had to preach his sermons. And he gave me this sermon one time of God of the plate. In other words, controlling what you eat. And I looked at Pastor Art and I said, I can't preach that, Pastor. I mean, they'll laugh me out of the church if I talk to them about overeating. Pastor Art was so wise. He said, oh, so you got all the other stuff down? And I said, give me the sermon. I ain't got it down, folks. I don't have it down either. All I know is we're on this journey together. I'm not really for sure why God has joined us together, but I'm so thankful he has. I think you're wonderful people. And let's learn to love together. Brother Denny, you can come up. I want to say a prayer for you. My Jesus, I'm so thankful that you're patient with us. God, we are definitely a work in progress. There's all kinds of things, Lord, all kinds of things that need to be changed in my heart. And Lord, I'm pretty sure in every person in this building, one of these verses hit them. God, I pray that they have not heard condemnation, but I pray that they have been convicted by your Holy Spirit. Encouraged to allow the Holy Spirit to change us, to become more like that ambassador that you so desire for us to represent you well. So Jesus, as I stand before this congregation, I say, Lord, we're guilty. Forgive us. May we be cleansed for being a hothead, for being short-tempered and being quick-lipped. Forgive us. Forgive us when we should have loved, but we spoke out in hatred. Forgive us, Lord. And Lord, we're praying right now that the Holy Spirit would just wash over us and encourage growth in you. God, teach me to love better than I've ever loved before. Father, I pray, Lord, right now, help us each and every one to overcome the evil that's in this world by letting the goodness of Christ shine through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll beat you to the door, but don't try to kiss me.
Isn't it amazing how God made it so simple for us? Just love. He didn't make it easy by no means, but he made it simple, just love. We were talking about that in Sunday school this morning, about how Jesus said he rolled all the commandments down to two. Love God, love your neighbor. That's simple as that. Wonderful. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing and nothing broken, now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.